this week on Vaticano. Back to the year 2000 to reflect on World Youth Day in Tor Vergata, a landmark event led by St. Pope John Paul II. We journey to Turin to visit the places tied to the life of soon-to-be Saint Pier Giorgio Frassati. Then we explore the EWTN Summer Academy, where faith and learning come together for young Catholics. Finally, we focus on Pope Leo XIV's connection with youth and how his message is resonating with the next generation. Vaticano starts now. One of the most iconic moments of the Great Jubilee in 2000, the first of the new millennium, was undoubtedly the World Youth Day in Rome. That August, 2 million young pilgrims came to Rome to meet Pope John Paul II at an event he had announced 3 years earlier in Paris. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, was the theme chosen for the meeting that culminated that weekend at Tor Vergata, a large area on the eastern outskirts of the capital. At the vigil, Pope John Paul II urged young people not to accept the injustices of the world, to defend peace, and to affirm their yes to Christ as the center of their ideals and the path to happiness.
Cari giovani del secolo che inizia.
Dear young people of the century, now beginning, saying yes to Christ, saying yes to all your noblest ideals, I pray that he will reign in your hearts and in all of humanity in the new century and the new millennium. Have no fear of entrusting yourselves to him.
Non abbiate paura di affidarvi a lui.
The district was flooded with young people, hailing from some 157 countries, a sight not seen before. The Italian press nicknamed them Papa Boys. The gathering quickly evolved into a generational event that defined the Holy Year.
I was there. I was 13 years old, and I waited for the arrival of the Pope on Saturday evening. I remember this sea of people continually walking under the window where I lived, not far from Tor Vergata. I certainly had the feeling of experiencing something historic. Had never seen so many people together in my life. And the next morning, for the final Mass, I went back again.
The following day, the youth cheered as Pope John Paul II made his way through the packed event in the papal car. In his homily, he focused on the value of the Eucharist, encouraging the young pilgrims to make it the center of their personal and community lives.
Mettete l'Eucaristia al centro.
Set the Eucharist at the center of your personal life and community life.
Amatela, adoratela, celebratela.
Love the Eucharist, adore the Eucharist, and celebrate it, especially on Sundays, the Lord's Day. Live the Eucharist by testifying to God's love for every person.
The now saint also asked the youth to keep vigilant in their faith.
Tornando a casa, non disperdetevi.
When you return home, do not grow lax. Reinforce and deepen your bond with the Christian communities to which you belong.
Da Roma, dalla città di Pietro e di Paolo.
From Rome, from the city of Peter to Paul, the Pope follows you with affection and, paraphrasing St. Catherine of Siena's words, reminds you. If you are what you should be, you will set the whole world ablaze.
After this great Jubilee event, Tor Vergata underwent major development, including building a university, a hospital, and other facilities, putting this area on the map. A place that is now ready to welcome back other young people, eager to draw closer to Christ, in the memory of John Paul II and that incredible weekend in 2000. We'll be back shortly on Vaticano with a look at the places of Pier Giorgio Frassati in Turin. Nestled in amongst the Alps of northern Italy, the city of Turin gave the church one of its most beloved modern witnesses of gospel living, Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati. With his canonization set for September the 7th in Rome, the legacy of Pier Giorgio Frassati lives on in the places that shaped him and in the hearts of Turin's citizens. In the La Crocetta neighborhood of Turin stands the parish of the Blessed Virgin of Graces, a place of deep spiritual meaning for Pier Giorgio Frassati. It was here that he received his first communion and confirmation, and where he often spent time in daily Eucharistic adoration. A plaque now marks the spot where he would quietly kneel in prayer during Mass. The parish also holds his baptismal and death certificates, which uncovers some small but interesting details.
We can see that Pier Giorgio's middle name was Michelangelo. Then we notice that the printed words "baptized in church" have been crossed out and replaced by a handwritten note "baptized at home." That's because Pier Giorgio was born with breathing difficulties, so they chose to baptize him immediately at home.
Pier Giorgio's grandmother, Linda, died on July the 1st, 1925. Just 3 days later, on July the 4th, Pier Giorgio passed away from polio, likely contracted while caring for one of the many poor families he regularly assisted. This series of losses deeply impacted the Frassati family and likely obscured the urgency of Pier Giorgio's condition.
Aware that his grandmother was in her final days, Pier Giorgio chose to keep his own suffering to himself, not wanting to cause worry or be a burden to those around him.
The parish stands directly across from the house where Pier Giorgio died. It was here during his funeral that Turin, and even his own family, truly realized the greatness of his life.
Imagine these very streets in front of us, completely filled with people. Pier Giorgio's family had no idea that such a crowd would gather right outside their home. That short walk from the Frassati house to the Crocetta parish became a true procession through the neighborhood, a public testimony of his life.
Un vero e proprio cammino per le strade del quartiere.
Alessandro Maria Greco organizes a Frassati tour for the youth of Turin, designed to help them better understand Pier Giorgio by visiting the places where he lived. The final stop on this special journey is the Turin Cathedral, where Pier Giorgio rests in peace.
Pier Giorgio was originally buried in the cemetery of Polone, but as his example began to resonate more and more around the world, it became clear that he deserved a place of greater prominence. His remains were brought here, to the Cathedral of Turin, this very Duomo, so that the very significance of his life could be properly honored, as we're witnessing even now, in these very moments.
Nicholas Mendoza is a pilgrim from the United Arab Emirates who first learned about Pier Giorgio Frassati through Catholic media. From that moment on, his devotion to the young blessed from Turin began to grow in a deep and personal way.
He was a very relatable saint, because if you were to see the other saints, like St. Francis of Assisi, St. Clare, St. Charles Borromeo, and St. John Bosco, a lot of people would see being a saint as you have to go to the vocation on being a priest or as a layman. But when I saw Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, I realized I have no more excuse to be normal.
Another special place in Turin that tells the story of Pier Giorgio Frassati is the exhibition space dedicated to him, called Verso l'Altro, Towards the Other. Located among the narrow streets in the city center, its purpose is to offer a journey through the time Pier Giorgio lived and the most significant places he visited by sharing his life story and exploring his writings.
The exhibition is structured around five main sections. The first space is dedicated to exploring the historical context of early 20th century Turin, the world in which Pier Giorgio lived during the first quarter of the century. The second section of the exhibition focuses on the mountains. This space features two of the most well-known quotes dedicated to his deep friendship with the mountains. Here we can also see one of his personal objects, the snowshoes he used to walk through the snow. The final room of the exhibition is dedicated to the words of Pier Giorgio. Many of these writings contain words that appear repeatedly. We have highlighted and summarized some of the most frequent ones, presenting them within his letters and displaying them in a word cloud that emphasizes the words he used most often.
Che evidenzia quelle più utilizzate.
Located in the heart of the major seminary of Turin, another place in the capital of the Piedmont region that reflects the connection between today's youth and Pier Giorgio is the Oasi Frassati, the Frassati Oasis. Nestled in a green area just a short walk from the city center, it offers a peaceful space for reflection and community.
Questo luogo è un luogo desiderato.
This place was created at the request of the bishop, in coordination with the youth ministry, and is called the Frassati Oasis. The idea is simple, to have an oasis within our diocese where young people can come together, gather, and breathe. It's a space where many youth ministry initiatives take place. Just this year, 2025, several programs, especially formation activities for older youth, have been organized here. It's no coincidence that we chose the name Frassati Oasis during the special year. 2025 is a holy year, a jubilee of hope, a special time dedicated to renewal and faith. We hope this oasis can be a place of hope and encouragement for many.
Dedicato al giubileo della speranza perché possa essere una speranza e un luogo di speranza anche per tanti giovani.
But the devotion to Pier Giorgio Frassati reaches beyond Turin, as his relics are present at Rome's Basilica of Santa Maria Sopra Minerva until August the 4th, giving young pilgrims attending the Jubilee for Young People the opportunity to venerate him.
You're at the forefront of reporting on conflicts and aspirations for peace, on situations of injustice and poverty, and on the silent work of so many people striving to create a better world. For this reason, I ask you to choose consciously and courageously the path of communication in favor of peace.
When Pope Leo XIV met with journalists just a few days after his election, EWTN was also present. EWTN journalists take Pope Leo's appeals seriously and strive to pass them on to the next generation of media professionals. For this reason, the EWTN Summer Academy took place in Rome for the fourth time. 40 journalists studied, collaborated on scripts, and worked in teams to produce, shoot, and edit videos, all while taking a deeper dive into their faith. They came from more than 20 countries.
My name is Randall Williams, and I'm from San Francisco, California.
So my name is Amanda Kaplan, and I'm from Sweden.
Hello, my name is Shadbel Tef, and I'm from Lebanon. I'm a Maronite Catholic. I'm his twin brother, older than him in like 5 minutes. My name is Giovanni Tef, also a Maronite Catholic.
The participants stayed for a week and a half on the Janiculum Hill in Rome, not far away from St. Peter's Square.
This academy that we have here is really a place of encounter and community and growth, because we have people who are journalists, who write, we have cinematographers who shoot, we have people who edit and make amazing videos. This is a chance for all of them to come together from all different parts of the world, all different languages, to get to know each other, develop community, and really make the EWTN family that much larger.
I was mostly making videos.
However, Anthony Johnson, who has been working for EWTN for many years, emphasizes that the Summer Academy isn't just about improving technical skills.
So we have three basic principles here at the EWTN Summer Academy: theory, practice, and then a mix of theology and philosophy as it pertains to communications. Because we can be effective online in creating great work, but we need to have an excellent foundation that's rooted in Christ. We also have daily mass every day. We have time for spiritual direction, confession. We have a holy hour. We go to places like Castel Gandolfo to see where the Pope also spends his summer, to contextualize things a bit and make it about the Vatican.
I was very amazed that we're all here for the same reason, to work for God and do what we can in this world to spread the truth. So that just, for me, it's very humbling to know that we're all here connected together, fighting for what is right.
In our mission on social media, a lot of people ask us, like, are you guys trying to start a new movement? And my brother has a very great answer. He always says that we are already a part of a movement that started 2,000 years ago with Jesus Christ and then his disciples.
The goal of the Summer Academy is that after these 10 days of training, networking, and prayer, participants will be well-equipped to be digital missionaries in the 21st century.
I think it's a combination of content strategy and also being charitable, right? So you could have the best content out there, but if you don't market it properly, no one's gonna watch it. At the same time, you don't wanna be overly controversial or bold. It's easy to fall into the trap of chasing views or clicks.
A good digital missionary is one who's centered in Christ, is all about service, and tries to work with competency and professionalism. We do everything for the church and ultimately for the evangelization to bring people closer to God. So when you step outside of yourself and you say, it's not about me, it's about God, you can do almost anything. And even by lowering those expectations through this value of service, then you can even do better work than you could possibly imagine.
On Sunday, the Pope had a special surprise for the young journalists when he sent them a greeting from St. Peter's Square.
I greet the faithful from Kearney, New Jersey, the Catholic Music Award Group, and the EWTN Summer Academy.
Stay with us as we return to uncover Pope Leo's impact on young people.
I'm so excited, so happy. I got the paper.
Oh.
I've been here for hours just praying and crying. It was the most fantastic
day. That is so beautiful. What do you want this papacy to do for the world?
I want it to deepen the church and have more people come to the church.
Since being elected in May, young people from around the world have enthusiastically welcomed Pope Leo XIV as their new Holy Father. And to this day, his message of peace, unity, and communion with God and others continues to inspire the church's young faithful.
I'd like to say that you are the promise of hope for so many of us. The world looks to you as you look around yourselves and says, we need you. We want you to come together to share with us in this common mission as church and in the society of announcing a message of true hope and of promoting peace, promoting harmony among all peoples.
While thousands of young Catholics continue to ponder the meaning of Pope Leo's words in their own lives, Caritas youth have swiftly taken up his call to turn hope into action by serving the world's most vulnerable. As the Church's young humanitarians, they support thousands of communities and families in regions impacted by war, poverty, and natural disasters. In Rome for the 2025 Jubilee of Youth, Caritas workers and volunteers shared with Vaticano why they believe Pope Leo's leadership is important for the world today.
First words out, peace be with you. It was very strong and powerful to many, I think, and also to personally to me as well, because I think peace is perhaps the essence of everything at this moment. There is so many protracted crises and so many countries that are facing economic failures, but if you look deep down, there is always that issue of peace within the country and also with the neighboring countries, and there is constant conflicts. And I think having peace within mind and spiritually is more important.
According to Caritas Africa youth delegate Vincent Tentani, who coordinates humanitarian, food, and nutrition projects in his region, young men and women have the capacity to take on great challenges and be agents of positive change.
It's good to work for the church as a young person because we have the energy, we have the expertise, and it's that energy that the church needs for us to reach out to the most the peripheral areas in our communities, to reach out to the most marginalized people in the areas, because we have that capacity to move around, to travel around than, our elder parents and other people.
For Julius, a recent convert to Catholicism, whose Pope hope is for Leo XIV to continue Francis's legacy of love for the poor, being young is not an obstacle to realizing the Church's mission and bringing Christ's love into your own communities.
I would say that there's always something to do. There's always help that is needed. And even though you may have difficulties in the formal organizations, in your parish or diocese to get things started, there's always the possibility of just doing work and getting out there.